Wash your face beneath the pump. It's time you're up and on the jump. It's morning and you must get something done. Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to the Ag Risk Management Podcast, where we'll hopefully help you continue to have good mornings on the farm. I'm Lisa Giddens, an Ag Business Management Specialist with Cornell Cooperative Extension. With me is Dr. Jenny Ift, an Assistant Professor in Farm Business Management at the Charles H. Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management at Cornell. Today we're going to talk generally about crop insurance. So, Jenny, what have you discovered about crop insurance in your research that you didn't expect?
Right. So I guess broadly, crop insurance is like anything else. Sometimes it seems like the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. One of the things I've looked at is how it affects access to credit. And what we find is that you see more access to operating loans when people have crop insurance and are able to use it. This is a story, you know, we see in the broader farm survey data, but when you talk to farmers, you hear it a lot as well, that it's important to their lender that they have crop insurance, which I think speaks to its importance to the broader agricultural economy as well.
So I know I've touched on this in other podcasts, but one thing I was curious about, given how important crop insurance is, why does New York State have lower enrollment in crop insurance than other states?
This is a pretty big question, and I don't think there's one big answer. What you do see is states with lower enrollment typically have some combination of a relatively smaller ag sector, a smaller farm sector, and a more diverse production mix. In New York, if you rank all the states, we're about right in the middle in the total value of agricultural production in our state. And we also have a diverse agricultural sector. We have strong dairy and a lot of fruit and vegetable production and field crop production. So I think that's probably part of the story. Mm-hmm. If you look at the history of the federal crop insurance program, it was originally developed for major field crops, corn, soybeans, wheat. And so that's what the products were developed for. And if you look at what crops have the highest level of participation, it would be corn and soybeans, where you have some states where you may have up to 85 to 90% of all acres enrolled in crop insurance. So that's sort of rooted in the history that you see more uptake. But increasingly, we do have varied types of single crop products for specialty crops, a lot of different types of fruit and vegetables can be covered. Whole farm revenue protection is a relatively new product that can, in theory, cover almost anything that's being produced. Mm-hmm. There's also different products for pasture, for hay, grazing, for forage. So those type of products are being expanded and improved over time. But generally, they don't have as high of participation as field crops. The other, I think, the reason for New York State, and this is a bit of speculation on my part, but we do have lower enrollment of corn than other states. And I think that's because we have a lot of silage production for dairies. And they have a different set of risks and conditions than farms that are just producing it corn for the market. And then that's something that we do try to address in our programming. So what are the unique risks that farms that are producing silage for dairy face and how crop insurance might play a role there?
So one question I have is, something I've heard from growers is that with some of the programs, especially if you're a really diversified farmer, that the paperwork to just insure a whole bunch of different crops can be more burden than it's worth, especially if you don't have large amounts of any single crop.
Yeah, that's something we've heard too in some cases.
Yeah, so there are different crop insurance programs for different crops. Have you found that there are differences among the programs and the expected benefits to growers? Are some clearly, I would say, a better deal or working better than others? And then are there some programs that you think really aren't, at least for New York State growers, working as well? I know crop insurance is a national program, and I was hearing that one of the challenges for the overall program is having a national program but very different growing and marketing conditions around the country.
Right, right. That's for sure. And this does vary quite a bit across New York. You know, for apples, I think last figure I saw was 80% of all bearing acres are enrolled. So, you know, a lot of apple farmers use crop insurance. Most soybean acres are enrolled in the state. Corn, less so. So I think about 50% of all grapes. So it does vary from crop to crop. You know, all these different crops, they have different risks that they face, and crop insurance may work better for some than others. There is a nursery product that we're still trying to learn about. They just had some major policy changes this year. But last year, I think one producer bought it. So You know, when there's that low of participation, you know, either there's a lack of awareness or it's a product that doesn't meet the needs of the particular industry in our states.
So it's hard to say conclusively then that this insurance product works and this product doesn't.
Yeah, there are different ways of looking at that. But definitely in terms of success, is it, you know, helping people avoid situations where their operation could be at risk and experience a major financial loss is the primary focus that we like to take.
And for different growers, then that'll be a different calculation.
Right. Right.
Well, this was all really interesting and a lot to cover in a podcast. Dr. Ift and the Cornell Crop Insurance Education Program from New York have developed resources and tools for growers interested in learning more about crop insurance.
So the Crop Insurance Program has developed a new website, agriskmanagement.cornell.edu, where you can find a lot of those resources. That's agriskmanagement, all one word, .cornell.edu. And that is just an excellent resource for learning more information than you can get from one podcast.
And thank you very much, Dr. Ift, for being with us here today.
This material is funded in partnership with the USDA's Risk Management Agency.